Talk. Cape Talk, the US Report with Adrian Brune.
The US Report with Adrian Brune, all the way from Manhattan in New York in the United States. Adrian, a very good morning to you. Welcome to the show. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Ant. I'm doing well, and how are you?
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us in conversation. Let's talk about the U.S., though. I mean, you talk about Robert Mueller. What's the latest on him?
Yeah, so prosecutors for the special counsel's office, that's Robert Mueller's office, said that President Donald Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, currently on house arrest, contacted witnesses in his case through encrypted WhatsApp messages and phone calls and via an intermediary, which is considered witness tampering in the U.S. One witness said Manafort asked him to commit perjury regarding a secret lobbying campaign in the United States, and Manafort is facing multiple charges, including laundering millions of dollars from lobbying for a pro-Russia party in Ukraine. Now, prosecutors have asked the judge to revise the terms of his $10 million bail or to send him to jail to await trial. So there's still, he's still sort of lingering about, there's no sort of indication that he's being used to put the squeeze on President Trump. Meanwhile, Trump called off the traditional Super Bowl champs visit at the last minute after fewer than 10 Philadelphia Eagles players said that they would attend. He blamed the cancellation on some players' support for national anthem protests. Instead, the president invited fans to a, quote, different type of ceremony, unquote, accompanied by military bands playing patriotic tunes. Some Pennsylvania Democrats invited Eagles players to tour the Capitol instead, and then Trump had his party at the White House. I have for you, Abs, a clip of the president describing the reasons for his, concert.
I want to take this opportunity to explain why young Americans stand for our national anthem. Maybe it's about time that we understood. We stand to honor our military and to honor our country and to remember the fallen heroes who never made it back home. We stand to show our love for our fellow citizens and our magnificent Constitution. We stand to pay tribute to the incredible Americans who came before us and the heroic sacrifices they made. America is a great nation, a community, a family, and America is our home, and we love our home. And our country has never done better than it's doing right now. Never.
Always an interesting debate when it comes to this national anthem. But okay, let's talk about the Supreme Court in the United States. What's the latest when it comes to the gay couples?
Yeah, well, speaking of free speech, in the 7-2 decision, America's highest court, the Supreme Court, ruled yesterday that a Colorado baker was exercising his constitutional right when he refused to make a wedding cake for a same-sex couple in 2012. Still, the decision, which was seen as a victory for religious freedom advocates, is not necessarily a broader ruling on businesses that refuse to serve LGBT customers on religious grounds. Instead, the Supreme Court's verdict was more based on the Colorado Civil Rights Commission's expression of an anti-religious bias when it ruled against the baker, who his name is Jack Phillips, who refused to bake the cake. So the Supreme Court is probably going to see more of these cases, and it was a 7-2 decision, so it was fairly unanimous. well, it wasn't unanimous, but it was pretty close. And the Supreme Court is pretty much always going to side with that kind of free speech expression. Maybe not so much cakes, but other.
I wonder what's next. You can't make coffee for someone because they're gay. Okay. Nonetheless, let's talk about Howard Schultz. Hey?
Yeah, and speaking of coffee, the executive chairman and former CEO of Starbucks, who joined Starbucks in 1982 and oversaw its dramatic expansion, said that he will step down on 26 June to consider new ventures, quote, from philanthropy to public service, unquote. Now, some speculate the Democrat may even try a bid for the presidency. That will be interesting. During his tenure, Schultz, 64, or age 64, focused on social responsibility measures, and in an interview about his departure said that he was, quote, deeply concerned about our country, unquote. He'll remain chairman emeritus while Myron Ullman, former CEO of JCPenney, takes his place on the board.
I do like the
United. We might have Schultz. We might have Zuckerberg. Who knows what's going to bring out, what 2020 is going to bring out.
All right. And just before I let you go, Adrian, on some sad news, though, we talk fashion and we talk people that have passed away.
Yeah. So for a generation of American women, a Kate Spade handbag was a coming of age ritual. The designer, who worked as an accessories editor before making the leap to creating her own handbags, was found dead Tuesday morning in what police characterized as a suicide by hanging. Now, Spade constructed her first sketches from paper and scotch tape. Her brother was the comedian David Spade, and she created an accessories empire that became a status symbol and, to many young women, a token of adulthood. Now, Spade's death prompted an outpouring of grief among fans and her company's customers, including Chelsea Clinton and Ivanka Trump. Now, Spade's older sister told her hometown newspaper, the Kansas City Star, on Tuesday night that Spade had suffered debilitating mental illness for the last 3 or 4 years and was self-medicating with alcohol.
All right, Adrian, listen, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. Certainly, it's been an eye-opener. Looking forward to chatting with you again on Friday.
Always, Ab. Speak to you on Friday.
Thank you so much. Adrian Brini, all the way from Manhattan, New York, with US Report, giving you the latest update when it comes to the United States. See you.